The epistle reading this morning is from James 1, 17 through 27. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save our souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed for their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself sustained by the world. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, may the meditations of our hearts and our minds be open and pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Friends, Benjamin Zander, have you heard that name before? Benjamin Zander is an English conductor who is currently the musical director at the Boston Philharmonic Orchestra. He is a teacher, a leader, and a communicator who inspires leaders across the globe and shares his insights with others. In one of his presentations, he tells the story of a profound moment in his career when he observed that as a conductor and leader of an orchestra, he didn't make a sound at all. All the power and the music came from the people that he was directing. Sure, his picture was on the cover and on the albums of all of the music that they put out for the public to hear, and many people knew his face. But, again, the conductor didn't make a sound. The conductor depends on the power of the ability to make other people powerful. Zander discovered it was his job to awaken possibility in other people. The way you find out, he says, if you're awakening possibility in others, is if you look at their eyes. If their eyes are shining, then you are awakening possibility in the other. If their eyes are not shining, you must ask a question: who am I being that my player's eyes are not shining? As I look around this morning at your eyes, many of your eyes are shining. Some are twinkling, and some are asleep. Wake up. You're in enough trouble, mister. I love this concept that Zander brings to us, and I encourage you to listen to one of his TED Talks if you've never heard him speak before. He is an enthusiastic presenter and gives encouragement to leaders across the globe, as I mentioned. But this lesson that Xander learned is so profound because, honestly, it's a great way to approach our Christian lifestyle. Who are we being that ignites the shining in someone else's eyes? I think that shine, that sparkle, to me, is hope, is joy, it's love. And as we said last week, God is love. Amen? Who are we to others so that they may feel the love of God, the love of Christ? I can imagine Jesus sitting with all of his disciples, and their eyes are just shining. They're not shining because they're starstruck. If they are, they might not be there for the right reason. But they're shining because Jesus is listening to them and bringing them hope and encouragement. Jesus is pouring into them and awakening a light in each and every person that he came across. He was a contributor, if you will. He contributed to the light in their eyes. He was more than just sharing and explaining something. He was awakening possibility, a new life, paving the way to hope and an everlasting life through Jesus Christ. Now, the author of James says that Jesus gave birth by the word of truth so that we would become the first fruits of his creatures, as Dawn read with us this morning. James is saying that Jesus gave us new life so we could help bring life to others by using our fruits. Think of that image of Jesus making us into his first fruits. Jesus has made us fruitful. God has made us fruitful, so that we can spread the seeds of the gospel and let it become alive in others. He made us alive so we may share the news and use the gifts that we have been given to help others find new life in him. And we can awaken the possibility of God's love in another person. That's some powerful things. And this is our job as a Christian. We are contributors. It's not about impressing people with all the knowledge we know and having perfect attendance in worship or in Sunday school or grow time, as we call it. It's about contributing something. It doesn't have to be monetarily. It is some kind of action, doing something, having a meaningful impact on others. There is a story about the woman and the starfish that has been around for a long time, and Xander uses it in his presentations, and I thought I'd share it with you this morning. Perhaps you've heard this story before. Strolling along the edge of a sea, a man catches sight of a young woman who appears to be engaged in some kind of a ritual, a dance. She stoops down and then straightens to her full height and casts her arm out in an arc. As he's drawing closer, he sees that the beach around her is littered with starfish. And she is throwing the starfish into the ocean one by one. Now, he's lightly mocking her as she's doing such an act. And he says, "There are stranded starfish as far as the eye can see. For miles on this beach, you're not going to catch every single one of them. What difference can you make by saving one of those starfish?" Smiling, she bends down and once more picks up another one and tosses it out into the ocean. And she says serenely, "It certainly made a difference to that one." Friends, for the woman, her small impact of stooping down and throwing a starfish back into the waters made an impact. It was a simple contribution, a contribution that was voluntary. And that's what a contribution is. It's voluntary. It's not something that can be forced. Contribution is not about being a hero or living in infamy or impressing others. The woman didn't get to go around and saying, "Ha, look how many starfish I threw in today." No. It was about doing something that was awakening the light in others. That was simply doing something that mattered, that was important to her. It could be as simple, sincere for all of us as paying a compliment to somebody. Maybe it's making a card or sending a card to a person and letting them know that they are loved or that you're thinking about them. It could be sharing a meaningful scripture with somebody at a time when they need to hear it the most. It can be assuring somebody that God still loves them. In some ways, being a contributor, it's scary because it means you have to go do something. And the voice of self-doubt might get in the way. What if I do it wrong? What if the person doesn't like the gesture I made? And sometimes being a contributor means that we have a responsibility. And you know how we get when we have a responsibility. We have been given a lot, and we are called to give a lot. That is our responsibility that the writer James says we have. James says, by doing God's work, we are incorporated into God's gift to the world. In living as gifts to others, we show ourselves to be the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood, alive in the world today. And James teaches that our faith is in vain if our actions do not reflect God's gift to the world. In the concluding verse that we read this morning, it says the sort of religion and worship that God is seeking is one that will care for the orphans and widows, and that followers will keep unstained by the world. But why does the writer focus on these groups? Well, this is where my seminary education starts coming into play. As well as you can maybe learn this in grow time studies and further deeper studies of the Bible. Orphans and widows are some of the lowest people in the society when the Bible was written. At the time James was writing his epistle, it was a Roman society. And in a society where property rights were almost completely dominated through the male spectrum, those who had lost their husband or father often had nothing. With no family, no means of employment, and no social safety net, widows and orphans were the ones at the mercy of others. Of all of the Roman society, these are often the ones who are most desperately need the help. And they had the least to offer. James says that helping the widows and orphans is truly pleasing God. Who are we to ignore them? So who are the orphans and widows in the city of Frederick? In Frederick County? Of course, we have both widows and orphans here with us in our congregation and in our Trinity family. We often have people who need the embrace and support of the church. But who are those in need in our community? Who are those whose eyes have dimmed just a little bit because they do not have the security that they need. Think of those who struggle to find housing, those caught in addiction, those trying to raise children on their own. My mother was one of those widows. She raised 4 children on her own. But I keep telling Mom, she did a good job. But she had the support of a family, called the church. What are we doing individually and collectively to help people, both inside these walls and in the community? Do we need to call some people out on their actions? Who are we being to these people? Are we truly being God's gifts to others? It doesn't matter which side of the fence you stand on. Are we being a gift to others? Are we making their eyes shine? Maybe the most oft-quote verse in the passage that we read this morning is the "be doers of the world, not merely hearers who deceives themselves." That's actually the scripture that gave me inspiration and that spoke to me for this message this morning. How many of us have heard God speak and have had a convincing word from the scripture speak to us, but have never acted upon it? We're often good at hearing, but doing, well, that's another matter. James says essentially that if you believe what you say you believe, your actions must match it. And we've said it several times here from the pulpit, and maybe you've heard it before in a study before. Jesus even says, what you are doing matters. Your beliefs must be right, and they must align. Your heart must match what your hand is doing. And somewhere in the middle, we get stuck. Our heart says one thing, but it doesn't want to do it. When we are not genuine with our actions, others will know. Being genuine is more than just saying you believe something. It's also doing what you say as well. Being held accountable, sometimes people will call it. If we say God so loved the world that he gave his only son, how are we making that promise real to our neighbors? How are we being a part of God's good and perfect gift to them? As we get closer to the fall and winter months, I hope we can look for more ways to contribute God's love to others. Let us have eyes for those who are lonely and needy. Let us support the ministries of the church and become more involved with our children's ministry, with our grief share program, with our pastoral counseling center, and with the family emergency shelter that we'll be hosting in September. Don't just sit there and do nothing, but do something that will impact the life of another person. Like the starfish on the beach, it doesn't have to save all of the starfish, but just one person. You can impact just one person. Let us get out of our pew and individually seek out those in our community who need to know God loves them, who need to know God cares that they're hungry and alone. Every individual here has the opportunity to contribute to the mission. And I find that exciting, because that means I'm not the only one on the beach throwing the starfish back in the ocean. There are other people participating in the dance. Pick up that starfish and start contributing and transform people's lives. Jesus and James calls us to live our faith genuinely and to believe what we say and do and say and hear. So what is keeping you from being a contribution in someone's life? Your contribution makes a difference. It is in the case of the starfish story, don't be like the man who was hung up on all of the obstacles that were in the way. He said there were too many starfish. Perhaps we will say to ourselves, oh, it's too much time. It takes too much time out of my day to go out of my way to help somebody. Oh, there's not enough people. There's not enough resources. We don't have enough money to support that program. Oh, it's too difficult. Knock it off. It's not about the success or failure of a mission. It's about being in the mission. Let us choose to be like the young woman in the story and joyfully use our gifts unselfishly to do what only we can do to contribute to the mission. Jesus calls us to be the good gift to the world. So how are you contributing? How could the change that you do impact your surroundings? Let us strive to be a church to become more genuine people, making sure that we believe in our heart what is right and make sure that our actions say the same, that we are truly contributing to others. And let us show our community God's good gift and perfect gift, who is the one and the only Jesus the Christ. And all of God's people said, Amen.